So folks, we're celebrating today the great feast of Saint Monica. And Monica is for us the great patron of our community. There's a story told that some of the first people who arrived into this part of the New World came into this port, and with some Franciscan priests who traveled with those who were trying to search out and find land, and they saw this inlet, an inlet in our ocean, and saw this precious piece of property, and they looked up, and at university, the high school, there is a big waterfall that continues to exist. They could see that waterfall from their ship from that distance, and it was the Feast of Saint Monica. And so the Franciscans said to the folks, "That reminds me of the tears that Monica shed for her son Augustine. Let's name this port Santa Monica." And so, at least for some of us, that's the belief, that this city was named by those Franciscans in the earliest days of our land. And it was done because it was her feast day and because of that waterfall, which reminded those men of God of her tears, of her great sorrow for her son. She has become for us a great intercessor, a great model, I think, for the women of our world, and especially for mothers. She is that enduring person who never gave up on her husband, who was a real character, and her son, who was even a worse character. And she just never gave up on those two folks. And her greatest line, her famous line, is right at the very end of her life. She was in the port city of Ostia, which is the port of Rome. And Augustine had in his mind to take his mother back. She was old now and feeble and growing less and less able to manage life. And he wanted to take her back to Tagaste. They're from northern Africa. Monica was an African woman, northern African woman. And they wanted to bring her back to that great city of Tagaste. And Monica waved them off and said, "Leave me, Augustine, leave me alone. I don't need to go anywhere." She said, I'm fine to die right here in this city of Ostia. Then she said, "One thing only I ask you, that you remember me at the altar of God, wherever you may be." And Augustine, by that time, had converted his life. He was now a priest, and he was to go back to Africa to become the Bishop of Hippo. And so he let his mother die in his arms. He wrote in the Confessions of St. Augustine, and that's her great remembrance. And so from that to this day, in this church of St. Monica, we do just that. We remember her at the altar of God every day. In the earthquake, we had this great earthquake this morning in San Francisco, 6.3 or something, I think. It was pretty difficult in that area of San Francisco and above the area there. And it just reminded me of the day that we had the earthquake here, the Northridge earthquake. It had happened in Northridge, but there was some kind of a shelf, and it came right into our city and destroyed a lot of the city of Santa Monica, and also our freeway, our 10 freeway, broke in half. And I remember walking into this church in 1994 at 4:31 in the morning, and everything had fallen. The ceiling had fallen. The chandeliers were on the floor. There was a gaping hole in that wall of the church, and all of the reredoses were down on the floor. The tower was leaning out onto 7th Street. And I looked up, and that panel of St. Monica was the only thing that was intact after that great earthquake. Now, take it for what it's worth. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. And I think Monica has been with us and continues in our great joys and in the great blessings of our community, but also, my brothers and sisters, in some of the great struggles and pain and loss that we have gone through as a community of faith over these many years. I've been fortunate to be the pastor of this community for 27 years, and I have just seen our community continue to to flourish and grow. And it's because, I think, of the great generosity and the great goodness of you, the people of this community, and in a special way, the people of the 530 liturgy. This liturgy has never, never waned in all those years. Not just young adults, but all kinds of folks who enter this church, who fill this church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in prayer and support and love of each other and of this community. So for that, on this great day of St. Monica, I really thank you and ask in a special way that we do remember our patron Monica, and we are assured that she is for us, especially for the great women of our community, a great model, a great gift and blessing. And she intercedes for us. That's what I believe. So we pray to her in a special way on this day. So folks, I think today, the great question that Jesus asked his disciples is the question that I think most of us are afraid to ask. I never say to somebody, "Who do you say I am?" I don't want to know. I don't want to know what people think of me. I'm barely able to survive what I do know about what people think of me. And I just think that it's a gracious question. A question that Jesus asked his disciples, a question that I think is important for us to ask about our relationship with Christ, about our relationship with ourselves, and about our relationships with each other. Pope Francis, our wonderful new pope, 16 months, has taken three very special journeys. He went first to Brazil for that great youth day, and on the way back, he went into the cabin. That's a risky business, to go in the cabin of an airplane filled with reporters, because you can't get out once you're in there. And they just peppered him with questions. And the one thing that I think all of us remember is that great statement that he made, "Who am I to judge?" That's what he said. Now, lots of people around him tried to finesse the words and maybe give a little... He never backtracked, never denied that statement. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge you? Who am I to judge people? Because we're all doing our very best. It was the question about the gay and lesbian community, but it's about all of us. Who am I to judge? It's a beautiful statement, I think, given to us from a man who leads us in a very, very unique, rare, and special way. And then, on his journey back from Israel, he did the very same thing. So it's now expected. He can't get out of it. He went back into that cabin. He's exhausted from that journey because he's a man of 77 years. He's not a young man. He's my age or almost my age. And he again astonished the world by saying he had invited Abbas and Peres, the two great leaders of the Palestinians and Jews, to come and to spend just a Sunday afternoon together, to pray together and to find some common opportunity to look for peace in a world that is devastated by this war that just continues to grind away at the people of both of those lands, of the one land, actually. And then on this last journey, on his journey to South Korea, he said something that really is about this gospel today. They said to him, "Holy Father, you are so popular. You're getting such acclaim. People love you wherever you go. You're getting hundreds of thousands of people. How do you manage all of that?" And the Holy Father said something I thought was very precious. He said, "Well, first of all, externally, I just thank people. I just say, I'm so grateful that you're happy. I'm grateful that you think I'm doing okay. It's a blessing for me to know that somehow I'm attempting in some way to touch your lives and your hearts." But he said, inside me, I look at myself and I say, "I know that I'm a sinful man. I know that I've made mistakes in my life. I know who I am. I know who I am. And even though I'm getting this acclaim, I know that I'm just a sinful man." And then he said, "And by the way, I probably have maybe 2 or 3 years left. And then he said, it'll be all over and I'll be with my father. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, who's to say how long he lives? But, you know, he's a man of 77 years. He's working 7 days a week. His force is incredible. So he can't last too long because the parts wear out, my brothers and sisters. The parts wear out. And it's difficult. But there he is, standing before this world, suggesting that he has a couple of years, two or three, and so he wants to make the most, knowing who he is and getting the claim, but knowing who he is. And so I think tonight, the question to us, first of all, is who do we say this Christ is? I think sitting in this church at five minutes after six, and I'm coming to the end, at 5 minutes after six tonight, it's probably easy for us to say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Probably could say that, couldn't you? Most of us could say that. You're the Christ. But what do we say when we turn on the internet and we're tempted to turn on to some salacious piece of stuff that can take us down a road that we don't want to be? What do we say then about this Christ? What do we say? What do we say when somebody gets upset at us or we get upset at them? We have all these resentments that build inside of us and we want to just blast away. What do we say then about who Christ is for us? What do we say when we're in school and things are tough or work is hard or people misunderstand? What do we say then about who this Christ is? Is for us in our life. And so my brothers and sisters, I think, yes, it's easy for us today to say you are the Christ, but what does that mean? What is that for us in our lives? And I'm not sure exactly how we can maintain that integrity of life and continue that great search and belief. I think we're all kind of in a search. We're all looking for our way. We're all trying to find our path. Every day, but especially on Sunday, I meet all kinds of folks that arrive in this community and feel very, very welcomed here. They feel a part of us, but their lives are, they're off-putted. They're unbalanced and they're looking for a way. So I've been reading this great book by Ron Rollheiser. I don't know if you've read any of his things. He's in the Tidings every week and he's got a great article this week on the 10 secrets of happiness that Pope Francis gave to the world about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's a beautiful article. But he writes incredible things. And he's got this book entitled Sacred Fire. And here's the story. There's a Buddhist parable that runs something like this. One day, as the Buddha was sitting under a tree, a young, trim soldier walked by, looked at the Buddha, and noticed that he was fat. And he said, Buddha, you look like a pig. The Buddha looked up at him calmly, at the soldier, and just as quickly in response said, and you, young man, you look like God. Taken aback by that comment, having insulted the Buddha, the soldier asked Buddha, why do you say that I look like God? And the Buddha replied, well, we really don't see what's outside of ourselves. What we see is what's inside us. And then having seen it, we project it out. I sit under this tree all day long and I think about God. So when I look out, that's what I see. And you must be thinking about other things. Maybe even pigs. But it's true. My sisters and brothers, how do we maintain the integrity of that life where we can claim this Christ as our Savior, as our Lord? And how do we see that, not just in our own person, but how do we see it in other people? So that our lives are better, are fair, are more righteous. I think it's if we take the time regularly to come to understand that we are children of God. We ourselves have the gift of God's incredible gift and grace and life and love in each of us. No matter what our tradition is. No matter how we find our love or how we find our God. God is in us. And if we can spend a little time every day just thinking about that, it strikes me that as we go through the day, we'll have a better vision, a better view of the people we meet, maybe less judgment and harshness, maybe a little greater compassion when people make mistakes, a greater sense that they too have the person of our God in them. And so my sisters and brothers, on this great feast of Monica, I can't imagine a woman who better portrays that in her life than that woman. I mean, Augustine left her dead flat in Tagaste. Left her, took off. She followed him. She found him in Milan, in Italy, from Tagaste to Milan. And she stayed with him. She saw something in Augustine that he did not see in himself. He had an illegitimate child. He was living a life of debauchery. She never let that stop her from loving her son. And it created a whole new life for him. That doesn't come by luck or chance. That comes, it seems to me, because she believed who she was, who she was. And she saw that in her. And as a gift, she gave that to Augustine, who became, of course, then the great man of the confessions. So let's celebrate this great feast today. Hope you have a great week, my brothers and sisters. I'm looking forward to a good week. I hope that we can see inside ourselves tonight, possibly through the week, some gift of that grace of our God that's in us. And then with a compassionate heart, with a good heart, with a gracious heart, with a generous heart, meet the people we meet in the week that's ahead. Bless you and thank you. Happy feast day.